So let's go ahead and have an opening prayer before we start. Dear Lord, I thank you for today and all that you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for the sunshine today. I thank you for life, health, and strength, Lord. I thank you for the Sabbath day where we can come to rest and just listen to your word. I pray that your presence will be here with us, Lord. We are meeting through other means, Lord. But I pray that your spirit will still be with us to speak to us, Lord, that we'll be encouraged to continue on this path of life, Lord, with you being at our side. Guide me and direct me that everything I say and do will be to your name, honor, and glory. I pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so my topic today is if God is for us. Sam, can you get the screen up? Thank you. Okay, if God is for us. You know, with this pandemic that we've all been facing for almost a year now, it'll be a year of March 13th, I remember, because my boss at my school is like, well, we can't be in school anymore. You know, so yeah, we're almost there in a couple of weeks. But with this pandemic that we've all been facing for almost a year now, and all the devastating circumstances that we have experienced as a result, with the economic uncertainties and the loss of lives and the closing of our churches, even, it may cause some of us to ask the question, where's God in all of this? If we have experienced the hurt and pain of losing a loved one, the hurt and pain of losing a marriage, the hurt and pain of losing a relationship, the hurt and pain of losing a job, it may cause some of us to ask the question, where is God in all of this? If we have experienced a spiritual decline in our walk with God, where we can't seem to overcome our addictions and our bad habits, where we may lack motivation to study the Word of God and have a daily devotion with Him, we may have been dealing with these spiritual struggles for a long time, and it's caused us to doubt our faith and belief in God and His power to change our lives. We no longer feel the joy and happiness that comes from knowing and serving God, and it may cause some of us to ask the question, where is God in all of this? We may be experiencing the pain of seeing a loved one or family member still not giving their lives to Christ, even though they may be going through multiple hardships and suffering as a result of their choices. We may have been praying for them for years and years, and they still have not come into the knowledge of the truth. And it may cause some of us to ask the question, where is God in all of this? Well, I'm here to encourage you not to give up on God, because He is still in control and He has a master plan for you. I'm here to encourage you to continue to seek Him when you're feeling down and out during this pandemic. I encourage you to continue to seek Him when you are feeling down and out about losing a loved one, or losing a relationship, or losing a job, or losing your marriage. I encourage you to continue to seek Him when you are struggling in your walk with Him. I encourage you to continue to seek Him and to pray to Him for your lost loved ones. For in due time, God will show up and answer your prayers in the way and at the time that best meets your need. For after you've had the experiences that He wants you to have, you will come out of them with more faith. You will come out of them with more humility. You will come out of them with more trust in Him. You will come out of them with a deeper knowledge of Him. You will come out of them with an upright and noble character, understanding that your power and strength comes from Him and Him only. You will come out knowing that God has been with you during your entire Christian journey. The next slide. It talks about, I'd like to talk about God's ultimate purpose God's ultimate purpose for our lives. So you may ask, what is God's ultimate purpose for me as I go through this life's journey? You may ask, what is God trying to accomplish in my life as I go through these challenging experiences? In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So here we see that God's thoughts or plans for us is to give us an expected end, where we experience the joy and peace of knowing Him and living for Him. When we understand that our daily life experiences, though hurtful they may be, are to help us to grow in our walk with God, in learning to trust and have faith in Him, then we can truly experience the joy and peace that He wants to give us. We will come to the realization that God always had a plan for us with an expected end. In Psalms 37, 7 through 9 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." So here we see that sometimes we may be fretful about the wicked that we see around us who are successful. They may curse God. They may bring wicked devices to pass. They may even call themselves Christians, but yet not follow all the commandments of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And yet we may still see them prospering, as if God is allowing them to live this lifestyle and not pay the consequences for it. But God cautions us through His word not to fret about them, but to wait patiently for Him, because eventually He will show up. We may experience a loss of a job, but if we wait patiently for Him, eventually He will show up with a better job. We may experience a loss of a marriage, but if we wait patiently for Him, eventually He will show up and give us a spouse that is our true soulmate. We may experience a loss of a relationship, but if we wait patiently for Him, eventually He will show up and He will give us a more wholesome relationship. You see, God's thoughts for us is not necessarily that we won't experience evil in this world. God's thoughts and plans for us is that in having us experience these trials in this world, we will learn the character traits that He wants to develop in us. And thus, at the end of those trials, we will have the joy, peace, and happiness that He wanted to give us all along, because we're becoming like Him. We will experience joy, peace, and happiness because eventually the wicked and wickedness in this world will be no more, and we shall inherit the earth. Psalms 84, verse 11 and 12 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." So here we see that our God is a sun and shield for us. He will always provide for our in the way and at the time that He sees fit. We also see that no good thing will He withhold from us if we walk with Him uprightly. This implies that as we walk this Christian journey and develop the Christian graces that God wants us to have, He will truly begin to grant us the blessings that he would like to bestow upon us as we grow in our relationship with him and put our complete trust in him. Romans 8:28-31 reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom did he foreknow? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen. So here we see that all things work together for the good, for us who love God, for us who have been called according to his purpose. You see, we may be going through this pandemic, and Satan may be tempting you to get discouraged because you've lost a loved one or lost a job in this pandemic. But I'm here to assure you that if you love God and have been called according to his purpose, all things will work together for the good. Satan may tempt you to get discouraged because you've lost your marriage, but I'm here to assure you that all things will work together for good because you love God and have been called according to his purpose. Satan may tempt you to get discouraged because your children are not in the faith and you've been praying for them for years, but I'm here to encourage you that all things will work together for good because you love God and you've been called according to his purpose. You see, many times God has us go through these experiences so that we will have the opportunity to grow in our walk with him, that we can have the opportunity to increase our faith in him, so that we can have the opportunity to learn to wait on him, because ultimately he wants you to experience the joy, peace, and happiness of becoming like him. And when you go through these experiences, you will exclaim in the end, "If God is for me, who can be against me?" You'll begin to face these life experiences boldly because you have come to the point where you now wholly trust in God and his power. I want to read that again because I think it's very important. You see, many times God has us go through these experiences so that we will have the opportunity to grow in our walk with him, that we can have the opportunity to increase our faith in him, so that we can have the opportunity to learn to wait on him. Because ultimately, he wants you to experience the joy, peace, and happiness of becoming like him. And when you go through these experiences, you exclaim in the end, "If God is for me, who can be against me?" You'll begin to face these life experiences boldly because you have come to the point where you now trust wholly in God and his power.
Amen.
And
Ephesians 1:11-14. Ephesians 1:11-14, as we continue to talk about God's ultimate purpose for our lives, "in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." So here we see that we have been predestined for victory in this life. We have everything that we need in this world to be successful in our battles with sin, if we wholly trust in Christ and his power to deliver us. We are his purchased possession, and when we follow his commands, and do his will through his help, we can be assured of an inheritance that he has in store for us. And we will give God all the praise and the glory for all that he has done for us, because he is worthy of our glory and praise.
Amen.
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 Next slide.
Amen.
Amen.
Next slide. I'm going to talk about, as we read for our scripture, the story of Joseph. And years ago, I talked about this story. I don't know if you remember. I'll go on with the later part of this story. You can find it in Genesis 39, chapters 39 to 41, as well as if you have Ellen Wright's writings, you can read it on Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 213 to 240. I'm just going to give a brief overview of Joseph's life, even though most of you guys probably know it. Joseph was a man of faith who eventually understood God's ultimate plan for his life. As some of you may know, Joseph was Jacob's beloved son and was treated by Jacob more favorably than his 11 other sons. This caused envy and jealousy towards Joseph by his brothers, and eventually his brothers devised a scheme that they would sell their brother, and so Joseph was sold as a slave in Egypt and eventually went to live with Potiphar, the captain of the king's guard, and his wife. Joseph was then accused of trying to take advantage of Potiphar's wife, and even though it wasn't true, Joseph was thrown in jail and was there for several years. All through these experiences, Joseph maintained his allegiance to God. He was raised to love God and to keep his commandments, and Joseph continued to follow God, even when it was extremely difficult. Eventually, Joseph was able to leave prison because he was able to interpret the king of Egypt's dream that there was going to be a famine in the land. God honored Joseph by allowing him to become ruler in Egypt because the king was so impressed with his integrity and wisdom. During the famine, Joseph's brothers seek assistance from him, and they are not aware that this is their brother that they have sold into slavery. So we'll now pick up the story in Genesis 45, 1 to 8. Genesis 45, 1 to 8. And it reads, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be airing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord over all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt.'" So while I was reading these verses, it was amazing to me to hear the humility, the kindness, the sincerity, and love of Joseph's words in response to his brothers. You see, even though his brothers had shown envy and jealousy towards him and had him sold into slavery, even though as a result of this, Joseph was lied about in doing an act he didn't commit and was thrown into prison for several years, yet Joseph still realized that if God was for him, who can be against him? He realized that through these trying experiences, that God had an ultimate plan for his life. And he exclaimed to his brothers that it was God, not them, that placed him in Egypt, that he can become ruler in Egypt and thus preserve his family during the famine. God had a plan for Joseph and his family, and he was willing to use the circumstances that Satan had meant to destroy Joseph and his spirit to work out his will. For as it says in Ephesians 1:11, we have been predestined according to the purpose of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So when we are tempted to get discouraged, when we see our loved ones lost to the world and not giving their lives to Christ, even after praying for them for years, we can have that hope that God is working out all things after the counsel of his own will, and that he will answer our prayers in his own time and in his own way, that he will get the glory. When we are discouraged that we can't seem to overcome temptation and sin, and we want to give up the fight, we can have the hope that God is working all things after the counsel of his own will, and that he will show up in our struggles if we keep praying and we keep fasting and we keep striving, and we shall be overcomers in his strength, and we will give him the glory. When we are discouraged that we have lost a job or lost a marriage or lost a relationship, we can have hope that God is working all things after the counsel of his own will, and that eventually he will show up if we continue to wait patiently for him, and he will give us a new and better job. He will give us a spouse that is blessed of him. He will give us a new and better relationship, because we understand if God is for us, who can be against us? Yes. We understand we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, and we don't have to give up in this battle of life.
Amen.
Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 222 and 223. Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 222 and 223. I'm just going to be reading parts of those pages here about Joseph. It says, Joseph's character bore the test alike of adversity and prosperity. The same fidelity to God was manifest when he stood in the palace of the Pharaohs as when in a prisoner's cell. Joseph believed, fully believed, that the divine hand had directed his steps, and in a constant reliance upon God, he faithfully discharged the duty of his position. An upright character is of greater worth than the gold of Ophir. Without it, none can rise to an honorable eminence. Moral excellence and fine mental qualities are not the result of accident. The most gracious or the most precious gifts are of no value unless they are improved. The formation of a noble character is the work of a lifetime and must be the result of diligent and persevering effort. God gives opportunities. Success depends upon the use made of them. So here we see that Joseph had to trust in God fully to be able to bring glory and honor to God's name. He was able to faithfully discharge his duties because he knew that God had a plan for his life. And if he stayed with God, eventually he would show up to deliver him and bring about the counsels of his will. So even as Joseph honored God, God was able to honor him.
Amen.
The next slide. I want to talk about a little bit about the purpose of suffering. The purpose of suffering, as we have some experiences in this world. In Psalms 112:5-7, in Psalm 112:5-7, it says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So here we see that we don't have to be afraid of whatever life throws at us. We can trust God fully, even as Joseph did, that he has our best interests at heart, that he is trying to develop his character within us. We don't have to be afraid of evil tidings, for if God is for us, who can be against us? For our heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. James 1:2-4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So here we see that we should count it all joy when we are tempted, when we seem to be in our weakest moments, for when we are being tried, it is working patience within us. When we are being tried, the character of God is being developed within us, because we are learning to trust wholly in God. And thus, when we do overcome our faults and failures, we will give him the glory. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So here we see how precious the trials of our faith are, because we understand the battle that we have to fight. We understand it is a great battle when we battle sin, when we battle these manifold temptations, as these verses explain. But we know we can't win this great battle alone. We need to trust in God wholly and completely as we go through our trials by fire, that we can gain the victory and exclaim, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
In Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. That should be the New King James Version. But it says, so we see here that we can glory in our tribulations, because those tribulations produce perseverance in us. And from perseverance, character is produced in us, the character of God, that in turn gives us hope that one day God will take us home to dwell with him forever and to give us the inheritance that he has in store for us. Zechariah 13, verse 9 says, I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. So here we see that God will refine us as silver and test us as gold. And as long as we call upon him, he will answer us, and we shall be the people that he wants us to be, a pure and holy people, set apart to do his will and to give him the glory.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:10-11. 1 Peter 5:10-11. 1 Peter 5:10-11 says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
So here we see that God has called us to his eternal glory, but in order to inherit that eternal glory, we must suffer a while. And that suffering is to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us into the character of our Creator and our Maker, that we can enjoy eternal life and the new earth and all of the blessings God will have for us in the hereafter. And when we gain this great victory over sin through trusting in God and his power, we can exclaim, if God is for us, Who can be against us? For to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
As we close, I would like to focus on God's ultimate reward for us being faithful to him. If we can go to the next slide. Our ultimate reward. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
Amen.
Amen.
So we see here that our light affliction works for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. This implies that God has so much in store for us that the trials that we face here appear light compared to the rewards and blessings that God has for us if we stay faithful. Not just our lightest affliction, but it says, but for a moment, because we have the whole eternity to enjoy those rewards and those blessings. For if we focus on the things that are not seen instead of on the things that are seen, if we keep our eyes on what God has in store for us rather than on what Satan tries to blind us with here on this earth, things that will pass away, then we can know that we are securing our place in God's everlasting kingdom. Mm-hmm. Psalm 71, 1 to 3, and also 20 to 23. Psalm 71, 1 to 3, and also 20 to 23. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed." So here we see that when we find ourselves in trouble, when we find ourselves in affliction, when we find ourselves in trials, when we find ourselves in tribulations, we can be rest assured that God will be our strong habitation where we can continually resort. You see, we can be experiencing hurt and pain because we've lost a loved one to this pandemic or another illness, but we need to remember that God is our strong habitation that we can continually resort to for hope and comfort. We can be experiencing hurt and pain for loved ones lost to the world, but we need to remember that God is our strong habitation that we can continually resort to for strength to wait patiently for him to answer our prayer in his time. We can be experiencing hurt or pain over losing our jobs, but we need to remember that God is our strong habitation where we can continually resort to for strength to wait patiently for him to give us a better one. For he has stated in his word that he will do everything to save us, for he is our rock and our fortress. He will quicken us again and shall bring us up from the depths of the earth, and our lips will greatly rejoice in him. And in closing, I would like to read Psalm 23, a scripture that has been dear to my heart over the years. Psalm 23, as this is our last scripture here, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen.
So when we can't seem to understand why God is leading us through certain valleys or hills in the path of our life, just remember that even in these valleys or hills, God is still with us, and that he is working all things out after the counsel of his own will.
Amen.
And when we see the full plan of God for our lives and the way he had led us, when we see that his character is fully developing in us, and we are experiencing the joy and peace of knowing and serving God, we can exclaim, if God be for us, who can be against us? May God always be to you a strong habitation that you may continually resort. May he continue to lead and guide you as you walk this path of sanctification. I would like just to have a prayer before we go into our song. Dear Lord, I thank you for today and all that you've given to us. I pray that truly we will understand that you have an ultimate purpose for our life, that you want us eventually to develop our characters, Lord, characters like you, Lord.
Amen.
We can truly experience the joy and peace of serving you, Lord. I pray that we won't get discouraged during these tough times, Lord. I pray that we will know that we have a better tomorrow as long as we clasp our hands in yours and allow you to lead and guide us. I pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for this wonderful message. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you.
Inspiring message, Brother Tulan.
Praise God.
So I wanted to ask a favor. I don't know if you all remember Ed and Doreen Aronson.
Yes.
Yes.
So I wanted to know if you would pray for Doreen. I guess Ed passed away recently. He had cancer. So just pray for Doreen and the family.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
We'll keep him in prayers. I have been praying for them.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
Have a happy Sabbath, everyone. Oh, never mind. Sorry. We're not done.